Right, the Cabinet today has a number of bills for introduction which are coming through the system. One on energy efficiency and conservation in the name of David Parker. It deals with regulations. The joint Australia-New Zealand standards on energy efficiency will go into regulations subsidiary to the bill, and also with the average fuel efficiency standard for new and used vehicles entering the New Zealand fleet. It's quite an important bill, a Settlement Systems, Futures and Emissions Units Bill in the name of the Minister of Commerce. This gives effect to law reform relating to futures exchanges and clearing and settlement systems and enables emissions units and other such products to be traded through a registered clearing and settlement system. Obviously, such legislation facilitates something like TZ1, Time Zone 1, the New Zealand Stock Exchange proposal, but it's not specific to it. The legislation that I signalled some weeks ago on the sale and supply of liquor and liquor enforcement is ready for introduction. This is the legislation which will give effect to local liquor plans. It will widen eligibility for objection to licensing applications. It will require social impact studies to be done on such applications. It deals with new provisions on sale of liquor to minors and on restricting the type of outlet which can sell liquor. So Leanne Dalziel will be in a position to outline that later in the week and also announce the next steps the government proposes to take in reviewing the law on alcohol. As well, Damon O'Connor has the draft New Zealand Action Plan on alcohol ready for release and consultation. There's a bill from the Attorney-General, the Judicature High Court Rules Amendment Bill. We've also approved policy for legislation on how to improve the effectiveness of infringement and other monetary penalties. To decode that, it deals with those who are persistently not paying their fines. That's legislation from the Minister of Courts. And we also have approved policy for a bill which deals with new criteria for payment of New Zealand super and veterans' pensions overseas. And that's in the name of Ruth Dyson. Discussion documents are coming out. There's quite a big one on sustainable urban development. One on developing a framework for the manufacture, importation and sale of raw milk products from the Minister of Food Safety. Another important one on improvement to legislation dealing with sexual violence. This comes out of the task force which was appointed to advise the government on that. There's a strategy that's been developed on stopping tagging in our communities. It was announced that we were appointing a reference group to advise us on that when we made statements around tagging earlier in the year. They have now produced that strategy, and it will be released in the first week of September when there's a community-based week of activities New Zealand-wide around cleaning up neighbourhoods. Coming up in the House this week, there'll be the appropriation estimates bill progressed to third reading, plus Impress supply bill also taken. In terms of first readings, there's the aquaculture legislation amendment. There's also the first reading to complete on judicial matters in Michael Cullen's name. There's the parliamentary service amendment bill, which we propose to take to third reading this week. Second reading of the policing bill. First reading to continue on taxation, international tax, life insurance and remedial matters, and the second reading of the employment relations breaks and infant feeding amendment bill. So pretty solid week of government legislation. Otherwise this week I have a statement for you tonight on the visit that Kevin Rudd is making, a visit on the way to the Niue Forum, and he and I will be speaking at a session first thing on Tuesday the 19th of the major Trans-Tasman Climate Change Conference. Otherwise, coming up this week, quite important announcements tomorrow from Annette King when she releases the updated New Zealand Transport Strategy, which has a much stronger focus on sustainability, which we're working into obviously many areas of policy, and also she releases the government policy statement on transport for the year. Otherwise, coming up this week, Leanne Dalziel and others will be releasing the report that's been done into petrol price monitoring. There is the Major Social Report 2008 scheduled for release on Thursday. Annette King will be talking matters of infrastructure, setting out government record to the Contractors Federation on Thursday. And Friday, in fact, Wednesday through Friday, there are a number of celebrations people are involved in around the commemoration of the centennial of the main trunk line. Any questions?
Can you hear me across the tape that was reached
at the
National Party Conference,
Kiwi thing? Well, I've seen that reported on the news last night. What would surprise us? I've said on many occasions that privatisation is in the National Party's DNA, so it is simply not believable for them to say that they would not privatise key assets like Kiwi Bank. And you can probably add to that Kiwi Rail, the share in Air New Zealand, electricity SOEs, and another long list of important state assets.
Do you believe that TAFE was a Labor Party plant in the media?
Haven't the slightest idea, any more than I'd know whether tapes out of closed sessions at the Labor Party conference in Wellington in April were from National Party plants.
I think it indicates the campaign's going to be a little bit underhand.
I wouldn't have the slightest idea. I'm out there campaigning on the big issues.
It's pretty sinister stuff, though, isn't it, when somebody deliberately tapes somebody's conversation at a cocktail party and then releases it?
Well, the same could be said, of course, of what happened in April at our conference in closed sessions, which blew something completely out of proportion.
But it's not the sort of politics that we're used to in this country.
Oh, well, I think the evidence would suggest otherwise.
Jeff Anderton says he would support a review of the Electoral Finance Act. What is your position on the future of the EFA? What if they review?
Well, firstly, there's always a review of electoral law after the conduct of a general election. So you'd expect that in the normal course of events through a select committee. But there was also funding announced in the budget this year for a process of reviewing a wide range of electoral matters, including funding. And the government's pretty close to announcing an expert panel to conduct that review. And the expert panel's report would then go out for discussion through a citizens' jury. So that's been funded in this year's budget, and it simply awaits the announcement now of terms of reference and an expert panel to take it through the next stage.
He's got some pretty serious concerns about the act as it's working at the moment, though. He's saying, you know, he's put an ad in the paper in Southland that's pretty much the same as he's done every other year, and all of a sudden it's been referred to police.
Well, I think it might have been funded differently, that's the issue, but I don't think it would be appropriate, Martin, for me to comment on it further, because the Electoral Commission has referred it on, and at that point I think discretion is the better part of valour.
Do you think the act is working?
I really don't want to offer you any further opinion on the matter.
In terms of the expert panel, have you consulted with other parties?
Well, not for an expert panel. Expert panels are experts, so it's not a political panel. But this has been a Green Party initiative. They've been very keen to put a wide range of issues to a citizens' jury based on a comprehensive report compiled first, which should be as objective as possible. So that's the way it's proceeding.
But one of the problems has been multi-party support.
But this isn't about a single party initiative with specific proposals. It's about trying to get a group that will stand back, look at the lay of the land, and then put issues across to a citizens' jury, which could further inform what governments might do on the matter.
But isn't there a danger that all parties don't have confidence in
Well, that's a matter for all parties. I think that really depends on the credibility of an expert panel.
How do you define experts? Are they politicians,
economists,
academics, or taxpayers?
Well, no. Well, taxpayers are expert on many things, as we know, Neil. No, we're thinking of academic expertise. It needs to be dispassionate.
Are you aware that the Electoral Commission doesn't take into account any account whatsoever of the funding of ads?
I really don't want to offer an opinion. It's not something I'm following in minute detail at the moment.
Have you got any concerns about the TUI billboard, though, in Tarawa, which the Electoral Commission says...
No, I don't want to offer you an opinion on a TUI billboard. I've got some ideas for TUI billboards of my own, like National says it won't borrow for tax cuts, yeah, right. But I'm not going to talk about any that might be relevant to the Electoral Finance Act or any complaints that might be made or any references that might be made from the Electoral Commission to the police or anything else.
Your Foreign Minister believes there's a conspiracy out to get him. Do you agree with him?
Look, I'm not Mr. Peters' spokesperson. He's not making those comments as Foreign Minister. He's making statements in his capacity as New Zealand First Leader. It's important to distinguish the two. With respect to his job as Foreign Minister, I'm satisfied that he's delivering the goods.
From the Electoral Commission, it's found that your post-budget disclosure would come down your office as an election advertisement. Is that surprising?
I really have no opinion to offer on it. I have no advice on the matter.
You outline quite a long list of legislation upcoming. Obviously, a lot of it can't be passed this year. What are the government's priorities in legislation to get through before the election?
Well, we're not obviously intending to try to pass everything on the order paper. We are campaigning to win and to carry on the work we're doing. So we are proceeding with an orderly legislative program through the election, and look at priorities every week as to what we want to pass. So that's just an ongoing exercise. You can see from some of the bills I've suggested today that we'll be advancing. When you've got a bill that's getting a second reading and a bill that's getting committee stages, obviously that's something that's got a prospect of being passed prior to the general election. But for the most part, in almost every case, bills that are just getting first readings now are going off for select committee scrutiny, public consultation. They will have a life of some kind beyond the election.
You've announced a bill to enable the trading of emissions units. I think you know the rest of the question. Is there any progress on the emissions trading bill?
Ongoing.
John, this morning, wouldn't rule out the recent changes to KiwiSaver in terms of the tax cut program. What's your response to that, and where do you think they could make savings if they chose to?
KiwiSaver in its current form is clearly only guaranteed with a Labor government. I suspect the National Party would love to take away from KiwiSavers the personal tax credit and take away from employers the tax credit that's paid to them when they are contributing and lessen the burden on employers of the 4% which has been legislated for. But I think we've just seen a pretty incredible weekend of statements where after 9 years in opposition, the National Party's big idea is to go and borrow some more money. And then there's the same old agenda of hacking into core public service spending and privatising key state functions, like the management of the prisons, the threat to put more of the healthcare out to the private sector. We already know of their plans for putting more money in the way of private education. We now hear of the secret plans around the sale of assets like Kiwi Bank. So I think it's going to be a very interesting election campaign as people focus on these issues. And I repeat what I've been saying for the past 36 hours, that for a political party to go out on a program of simply borrowing more money in the middle of an international financial market crisis would have to be about the silliest idea ever invented.
But debt-to-GDP ratio still be conservative?
And there's a very good reason for keeping the debt-to-GDP ratio conservative. It's a very good reason for keeping the government's books in very solid shape. And that is New Zealand has other factors like a persistent high current account deficit, which don't impress financial markets. So it's important to be impressing financial markets with very strong fiscal management.
Do you accept that there's a need to get on with some of that infrastructure work and progress things in that way?
Of course, and we have for 9 years pursued a massive infrastructure program. We have doubled the money that goes from government into roading and land transport projects every year. We have increased by over 15 times the amount of money that goes into public transport from the New Zealand government. In the 9 budgets we've had, we have invested 3 times as much in the public health infrastructure as the National Party did in the 9 budgets it had before that. We have had a big program on courts, on police stations, on buildings in the education sector. With respect to private-public partnerships, we have it in legislation. We are investigating the massive one for the Waterview connection in Auckland, which is a key part of the State Highway 20 link-up from the airport to the North Shore. Infrastructure right now is going gangbusters, funded by a Labor government, within prudent financial management of the state's finances. Now, I find it extraordinary that the National Party would announce they're going to chuck more money at it and yet cannot answer any direct question about what that money would go on. One thing we can guarantee it would go on is building more prisons, because the corrections policy announced by their spokesperson at the weekend was simply a recipe for investing a lot more in that rather futile area of public spending.
Other than
Having ruled out superannuation, having ruled out working for families, it only leaves 2 big areas of public spending to target. One is education and one is health. Therefore, I would expect them to be planning in their policy on shifting a lot more of the burden of the cost of education to the ordinary Kiwi family and student. And that, I think, is reprehensible, and that, again, I relish the opportunity to campaign on in the forthcoming campaign.
Mr. Kerr, you also promised a mind referendum on Kiwi fees, which is presumably something that no small party would support a national level next government. Would Labor support a mind referendum?
Very unlikely, because it is not in our policy to have a referendum on MMP. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, is the usual formula. And it isn't broke. You see, what the National Party really want is unfettered power. They don't like the thought of having to share power with other parties. Well, I've been in the position as Prime Minister of leading a government for close to 9 years where we have shared power with other parties. And by and large, I've come to the conclusion that that isn't a bad thing. It does mean that we work very hard to mobilise majorities around the laws that we pass. Is that a bad thing? Personally, I don't think so.
You mentioned that Labor is actually using PPPs and roading. There's a plan.
There's a proposal, yep.
I wonder if you could point out what differences you see between Labor and National in what PPPs should be used for and how they should be managed.
I suspect they're looking to expand the concept of the PPP into schools. That's in effect been signalled last year that they were looking for private enterprise to build schools. That's always been a core state responsibility in New Zealand, and I support it being a core state responsibility. I suspect they'd be looking at private prisons in the same way, not the state building and asking others to operate, but actually private prison building. You may see the same sort of thinking they're applying to other areas, but again it comes back to what is the role of government? And I think that people generally have a view that government should be the prime funder provider of education. Should be the prime funder provider of our health service. It should be the prime funder, sole provider of our prisons, which involve coercive powers. and so we go. So you're really into quite a fundamental debate about the role of government in the state here.
Are there any particular pressing issues you're working with rather than your finance?
We are both addressing this major climate change conference, Australia-New Zealand conference, so obviously I'll be interested in getting an update from him personally about the way their emissions trading scheme is developing. We'll be very much focused on what's coming up later that same week with the Pacific Islands Forum. So those would probably be the two key issues.
Is there anything particular on Fiji that you might discuss working together in some way?
I'll be going to the Pacific Island Forum looking to maintain forum unity around keeping the Fiji interim government to the word it gave forum leaders at the last forum. And what I'm hearing back is that across the board, forum leaders are dismayed at the statements which are coming out of Fiji, the suspension of the Fiji interim government's participation in the joint working group, which was helping with the electoral preparation process. I had the opportunity to speak to the Prime Minister of Tonga when I went up to Tonga for the coronation at the end of last week. Also the Cook Islands Premier. I've spoken with the Niue Premier, who'll be chairing the forum on these matters when he was here last week. I'll have the chance to speak to Mr. Rudd before the forum. So the key thing will be to keep forum unity and keep people focused on the blight which Fiji's present position casts over the South Pacific and the need for the Pacific Island Forum to be proactive in dealing with it. Now, we will have a report from the ministerial group which Mr. Peters was part of, which went to Fiji a couple of weeks ago, and it will have recommendations to the forum leaders.
Do you expect Fiji or Kokura Bainimarama to be in Niue for the forum?
I've got no reason to think he wouldn't seek to be there. He did seek to be there last time and went.
Do you think it would make a difference if they are there or if they're not? Probably it's more pertinent given the situation, you know, that they can just disengage themselves, or do you expect them to want to continue to be?
Well, it may be that Commodore Bainimarama should be facing the people he gave commitments to last year when he committed two elections by March 2009, when he committed to those elections on the existing constitution and electoral law of Fiji. Now, he has made public statements since the forum ministerial group went to Fiji where he said he had never intended to have elections by March 2009 and that he intended to change the constitutional electoral law before there were elections. Now, these statements are simply irreconcilable with the commitment he gave forum leaders last year, and I think he needs to account for that.
A Trans-Tasman Climate Change Conference, some might say, would be a good opportunity to talk to Mr. Rudd about perhaps a more convergent emissions trading scheme, given the difficulty that we're getting it through here. Is that something that is on your mind?
Well, we've always set out with the objective that, to the greatest extent possible, the two schemes should be compatible. So obviously I'm interested in hearing firsthand from him how his is developing. But it's got to be remembered that New Zealand has a different emissions profile from Australia. Agriculture is a much smaller part of their emissions profile. On the other hand, their emissions profile has to take into account that a lot of their energy is coming from coal. It's driving a lot of their industry. So they need to deal with those issues as a matter of priority.
I mean, that's something that certainly National has identified as perhaps one of the barriers or one of the problems they have with our proposed scheme. I mean, is that something that you're looking at to move along to get support?
No, I don't think the Australian scheme should affect the way that ours is designed. Ours has to be designed to meet our interests in meeting our international obligations and making a commitment to reducing greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Therefore, we can't ignore agriculture, which is half of our profile. So the importance of the legislation in front of Parliament now is that it hugely decreases the liability of the Kiwi taxpayer not to pass this legislation is basically to vote for more deforestation and for passing the bill to Kiwi taxpayers. That's why the legislation should pass.
Would you care to share with us a date for the election?
Not today.
Will it be sooner or later?
I don't think there's an answer to that question.